News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt. If you have a question and want to talk to Rick about it, you can give us a call or a text, all one number, 1-877-332-8255. Speaking of Rick, Rick Van Dyvendyke on the line with me from Dutch Growers. Rick, how are you today?
Good morning, Erin. It's, where did January go?
I know. It went by so fast. I can't believe it's January 31st already.
Yeah, no, it's January went by so quickly, and February is, I think we have a shortened. Is this year a shortened year? February? I think it's only 28 days this year, right?
Yeah, 28 days. No leap year for us.
No leap year for us. So that means it's going to be a short February, and then before you know it, March, and then spring comes. I mean, we were discussing about some news that came down this week is that we had to cancel Gardenscape again for another year.
Oh no!
And so that was disappointing. The decision that we had to make this last week, and so it's going to be interesting. But we're going to be putting together for March. We're going to be putting together a few online stuff that people can go on and be able to look at some online free seminars and we're going to be putting on, and there's going to be some information and links to different virtual gardens.
So not quite the same, but I think we're all starting to get a little bit used to the idea of doing a bit more online, unfortunately.
Yeah. Exactly. And so that's what you're going to be seeing happening. And talking about online, I mean, if you're interested in doing some gardening stuff this February, there's things happening with the University of Saskatchewan and the Horticulture Society. So check out your local Horticulture Society. They got different seminars during the month of February, and also the University of Saskatchewan also has a bunch of different seminars. And there's one coming up on February the 2nd, and it's free of charge. This one is about native plants in your yard, gardening with native plants on February the 2nd. So you can check that one out. And then later on, all through February, there's a whole bunch of ones that you can sign up for with the University of Saskatchewan that you can pay for and join, and some more free ones. So you can check that on. Just go to horticultural classes or gardening classes, University of Saskatchewan. You can look that up, and you can take some classes online for the whole month of February.
Not a bad deal. We have a call coming in from Barb in Moose Jaw. Barb, how are you today?
Very good, thank you.
Good. What's your question for Rick today?
Yes, I have a money tree, and I would like to know how to propagate it, because there are some very small little branches coming out towards the very bottom of the tree.
Yeah, you can. A lot of times you can just take one of those little side branches off of them, and there's a couple ways you can do it. One, you can stick them into just a glass of water and get them to root, okay?
Yeah.
A little stem, and just like you would other houseplant shoots, you can stick them in water, get them to root. The other way you can do it is you can take the shoot off and you can stick it into a little jiffy pot. Okay?
It
works better if you use a stem root, like a rooting hormone.
Yes,
stick
I
it
use
the end. Yeah, and then just keep it misted in the leaves to keep moist until the root, it roots into that jiffy pot. So that's
okay. Which one is the best one to try?
Probably the easiest one to try is the glass of water, honestly.
Okay.
It's probably the easiest. You don't have to worry about misting it so much and everything else and keeping the humidity around it, especially where houses are so dry this month. And so that's probably the easiest way.
Okay, very good then. Thank you. I'll try.
Okay.
Thanks, Barb.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, we have a couple texts coming in, too. Looks like we're going to be in for a busy morning. If you have a question for Rick, give us a call or text at 1-877-332-8255. Let's dive in. We have Carol texting in saying, I would like to make my own seed tapes for my garden. One, what is the best glue to use? Two, can I make them now to use in May? And three, should I assume complete germination, or should I assume about 50% and put twice as many seeds in?
Yeah, so the seed tapes will be fine. The type of glue to use would probably just, I would just use either just a something that's going to break down easy, right? That's the big thing. And so just, there's a lot of organic type of glues out there. That's probably the best. And the type of glues you can use, it could be even just a white glue that's an organic. You'll see lots in your school supplies. They're making all kinds of organic type of glues now that aren't harmful. Just something that'll break down. You don't have to be very thick. You just have to be just enough to keep it attached to that tape. That's the big trick. So it breaks down very easily. A lot of times the seed tapes, you'll see the biodegradable type of, almost like a paper type of
tape.
And so that they break down, once moisture hits them, they break down very quickly. So that's the key. You don't want to use things like scotch tape or something like that. They just won't break down for a long time. So that you don't want to use anything like that, because then the seeds obviously won't germinate, because they won't get any moisture in contact with the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the key.
All right. We'll jump in. We have a question from Sharon in Saskatoon. She says, I have some large trees and plants in my house. They all have little black fly babies in the soil. I've regularly been putting pieces of potato on the soil, but I can't seem to get ahead of them. I also catch a lot of adults on yellow sticky tape. Best idea to get rid of them. Is there anything else she can do other than the potatoes?
No, potatoes, piece of apple, piece of potato, slice of potato, just got to keep on top of it. And because they do reproduce very quickly, just like they're flies, so you have the little larva or a maggot or whatever you want to call it in the soil. So there's no chemical. That's the problem. And just watch your moisture. Make sure you let the top inch and a half of most of your houseplants dry out, because that's the fungus gnats, that's what it is. They're native to peat moss, okay? So all of our potting soils have peat moss content. The majority of it is peat moss. So there's eggs in some of those soils that have been there for a long time, many, many years. And so when they have the perfect conditions, when you're watering lots and peat moss, then those eggs start hatching. So you just have a patch of peat moss that had quite a few eggs in it. So just keep putting your apples or potatoes or whatever on top, and just every day, every second day, take the peel off, take a spoon and scoop the ones that you see on top of the soil out, and then also keep your sticky tape out. That's all you could do, and let the top inch and a half dry out before you water again.
All right, perfect. We'll take a quick break here in just a moment. Then we'll get to a call from Lisa in Saskatoon. If you have any questions for Rick, you can give us a call or a text at 1-877-332-8255. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Good morning. I'm Erin McNutt. This is Garden Talk. Here, as always, is Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. Rick, it looks like we're going to be busy. We have some calls that have been waiting on the line for a while, so we'll jump right in. First up is Lisa in Saskatoon. Lisa, how are you today?
Not too bad, and yourself?
Good, thanks. What's your question for Rick today?
I have a 34-year-old spider plant, and it has become completely root bound. But it's very long. When we hang it up, like my grandson plays with it on the floor, I don't want to lose any of that length, but I'm just wondering how to go about transplanting it, or if I just need to trim it.
Yeah, you could definitely, they love to be trimmed. So that's not a problem. Transplanting is not an issue. What you do is just take a scarf. Okay. Bring it around the bottom and tie it up so that you can get it up out of the way from yourself. And you might need an extra hand to help you do this. Okay,
yeah, my husband.
And then you can lift it with the scarf. You can lift it up the top and get all the lower branches hanging down and lift it up higher than the pot. And then now you can work at releasing the plant from the pot. And you may have to even cut the pot off. So in some cases, they're so root bound and so tight, you know.
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah. Well, we're watering it every 2 days already.
So you're very root bound. And then you want to go with one size that's one size larger. You don't want to go into a giant pot and say, okay, I want to do it now for the next 5-30 years or whatever, okay?
Right.
Just go into one size larger. And then when you do that, just take your fingers and just tickle all the roots so that you loosen up the roots, because you're going to find all the roots are just spiraling around like crazy, right? So you just want to tickle the roots around the sides. So you loosen them up, put it into the other size pot, and then put some soil in around it, and then you're ready to go and give it a good watering. And that'll help it a lot. So basically what you can do is if you, let's say, I'm not sure what size of pot you have, but let's say you have a 12-inch pot.
Yes, I do.
You can go to about a 14-inch pot, okay?
Okay.
In fact, you could go to a 16-inch pot. That'd be the largest I would go.
Okay. Now, also, the hanger that I had hanging from was macrame, and it finally just broke apart.
Yep.
Where can you get hangers now?
Yeah, macrame hangers, some of the garden centers still have actually macrame hangers, so you can still get the same type of hanger you want.
Oh, excellent.
Or, yeah, and then that way you can put whatever type of pot you want into that hanger.
Okay. Now, do I have to trim it, or can I just let it grow?
You can just let it grow you want, or you can just thin it out a little bit if you want, you know?
Yeah.
You can have a lot of branches. If you want, you just go through and thin it a little bit. And that'll help the plant have a little more air moving through the branches as well.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lisa.
You have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
All right, on the line now we have Lynn from Weyburn. Lynn, what's your question for Rick today?
Well, I save seeds, but someone said maybe if you froze them for a little bit that they would sprout better. Is that true?
Freezing. I don't like freezing. A light freezing, okay, but put them in the freezer.
Not put them in the freezer for a little bit.
Put them in the freezer. You better put them in the fridge, okay, if you want. Okay.
Okay, but not freeze.
But just don't put them in fruit.
All right. Also, I was wondering about crown of thorns. I've had it for years and years, and for the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, it bloomed every year like crazy. And now, for the last 3 years or so, it really hasn't bloomed. But it's looks healthy and big, but no blooms.
Normally they bloom.
Pardon?
Oh, Rick, you're breaking up on us a little bit here.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, there we go. I think that's better.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Normally they bloom in late winter, right? So the one thing you want to do is that whenever they want to bloom, it's normally a time when they usually have some more rain. So you just want to give them, if you want to force them to bloom, is that they just need just a little bit more moisture just for one or two waterings, and that'll trigger them. And also what triggers them, too, is that even in the fall, back in September, just have them outside when you got a little bit cooler temperatures, because normally those type of plants have cooler evenings, right? And that triggers them as well. But you want to do that. You want to do that back in September, very beginning of September, like one weekend or the last week of August. Is that even have some out? Put them near a window where you can open the window and get some cooler temperatures. That'll also trigger them to be able to go through a cycle where they'll start blooming for you as well.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lynn. All right, we have a couple of texts that we can get to. If you have a question for Rick, you can give us a call or a text at 1-877-332-8255. We'll start off, we were talking a little bit about bugs earlier, and Elaine in Spring Valley called just to suggest TKO Orange for bugs. Do you think that might be effective for some bugs in houseplants, Rick?
Yeah, you know, there's lots of home remedies, and that's exactly those kind of things there's lots of things that will work. That could work, absolutely. And that's a good one, Aaron, is that if people have some better ideas of how to do fungus that, because that's the one I've been using a lot, is just use a piece of potato, because we used to have fungus gnat killer used to spray on the soil, but that's been taken off the market for about 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So any home remedy people have, please text us or call us and let's let everybody know.
Yeah, the more the merrier. We can try out a couple things,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right, we have a text from Brenda. She's curious if you plan on doing seminars on care or propagation of roses.
Yeah, well, once we start getting closer into March and April, we're going to be firing up a lot of, even a Dutch person, we're firing up a lot of online seminars. And so then just watch for those. And for care of roses is one we usually do a lot in the month of April. So just watch for those, and and check for those in a lot of garden centers right across Saskatchewan, end up doing some little seminars because we have to change what we're doing because we can't do the traditional where we can have classes inside the garden centers. So we'll be doing a lot of different things and no different than the University of Saskatchewan doing those. Your horticulture societies are doing things online. So everything's changing that way. So just keep watching, be posted. If they have, if different horticulture societies have Facebook sites and that kind of stuff. So just make sure you subscribe to those different things and then you can keep an eye on letters and everything else of things coming in.
Perfect. We'll get to one call and then we'll head over to news here. We got about 3 minutes to go. Marlene in Regina is on the line. Marlene, what's your question?
I have an elm tree in front of my a cedar tree in front of my house, and the squirrels are stripping the bark. How can I get them to quit?
They're stripping the bark.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. They've got all the bark stripped off.
Huh, that's interesting. So what you want to do then is you basically all you can do is just wrap some chicken wire around the bark. You use that for a lot for deer or the rabbits or even things like beavers, you know, along the waterways.
But these are squirrels, so they can come down from the roof down instead of from the bottom up.
Yeah, but the areas where they're stripping it, if they're up high... That's tough. Basically, what you can do is probably the best way to do it is you get one of those live catch type of traps, right?
Yeah.
And then you put some of their favorite, you know, peanut butter and peanuts inside the trap, and then move them on to different trees and acorns and that kind of stuff, so as you move them out of your area.
Do you have any idea why they would do that?
The only thing that would cause them to do that is they ran out of food and they're just hungry like crazy right now.
Okay.
That'd be the only reason they'd be doing that is that they just ran out of food.
Because I've never seen that before.
Yeah, no, and with this winter that could have been happened, even this squirrel just never put enough storage away and ran out of food, and so that now they're eating just about anything. We're seeing that with the deer and the porcupine, and they're just eating that they normally don't eat. Like I have junipers in my yard that are just ground junipers that are just trimmed down to just there's no green left on them.
Oh.
So yeah, no, they're that. Probably the reason why. We just ran out of food.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, Marlene. Bye. On that note, do you think that maybe getting little feeders or something might be a good idea, just sort of in a different part of the yard, maybe?
You know, the very good point, Aaron, is that both feeders, both for things like the squirrels, because in Regina you're going to see more squirrels than you will in other parts of the province, right? But also the birds. The birds, I noticed that they were a lot of the weeds and everything else where all the seeds were hanging on them from last year, they're all covered up with snow right now. So, yeah, tending to your bird feeders, bird feeding and those kind of feeding stations, whether it be squirrels or bird feeders, are becoming in the gardening form one of the largest growing hobbies in the backyard right across North America. It's crazy. Even the hardware stores, everything is getting really into birding because they're seeing that is a trend.
Yeah.
And so, especially we just went through a cold spell, Aaron. And
they're hungry.
They're hungry. They need food to keep warm.
Yeah.
So out there, just make sure that you keep those bird feeders going or go pick up a new bird feeders. There's lots of stores all over the place, right from garden centers to your PV marts, to your grocery stores. They all have bird food now.
Everybody's taking care of it. We're going to take a quick break for news, and then we'll be back. You can give us a call or text at 1-877-332-8255. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Good morning. This is Garden Talk. I'm Erin McNutt. If you have any calls or texts that you would like to get in with questions, give us a ring at 1-877-332-8255. As always, I have Rick here with me this morning. And Rick, we are going to be busy. We have a couple calls waiting on the line and lots of texts to get to. So we'll start off in Regina with Tom. Tom, how are you today?
Good. How are you, folks?
Good, thanks.
Good morning.
What's your question today?
I was watching a squirrel at my backyard here in one of those big poplar trees, and he peeled a little piece of bark off and was licking it. So I'm sure he's looking for protein. But
Yep.
My question is for some more animal feed, alfalfa pellets for rabbits, and then I'm wondering if I can use some alfalfa pellets in a couple small garden plots I have in northern Saskatchewan for some type of fertilizer.
Okay, alfalfa pellets are one of the best fertilizers, organic fertilizers you can almost use. There's so many different micronutrients in them, calcium, boron, zinc, magnesium. There's all the micronutrients. It's a very good fertilizer, so you can work it into your soil, or you can actually make a tea with it and supplement even some of your plants to make a tea with the alfalfa.
I had trouble growing tomatoes last year up there. They grew good, and they took a long time to redden, and when they did get red, the skin was very, very hard and wrinkled, but the insides were good, and I'm wondering, could I use that brine to maybe fertilize those tomato plants too?
That's all I use. I'm in pure sand in my garden and where I have my tomatoes against the house, and that's all I use, and I get great tomatoes, and they taste great too.
Okay, that sounds good.
If you want to stop those squirrels, you might have to start feeding them if you want to stop them from eating the peeling off the bark on your trees.
The squirrels are getting fed very well in my backyard.
Okay.
Okay. I like it. It's great.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks,
okay,
Tom.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
All right, and now we have Sharon in Swift Current. Sharon, what's your question for Rick today?
Good morning. At the end of November, a friend gave me an amaryllis bulb, which I had absolutely no previous experience with, but she told me sort of what to do. So anyway, I waited and waited, and by golly, the stem came up, and this big ball comes up, and it breaks off into four pieces, and I have had four beautiful blossoms on it, and they're dying off now. Is there some way I can, some procedure so that maybe it could be, what do you call it, seasoned over or wintered over, dormant, and then I could have it regrow again in the future?
Yeah, so what you want to do now is you want to let that stem, you can pull off, if there's any flowers that are still on the top, you can just trim those off. And then that green stem, what you do is you leave it on until it basically wilts over or turns a little bit brown, because all the energy, you want to go back down into the bulb again. Okay, now then what will happen is some leaves will come out of the bulb. And then what you want to do is you want to treat that like a houseplant, so it has to get energy from those leaves from the sun to be able to produce a flower next year. So you just want to put it in a spot. You want to water it, just not very often. Just keep it so it doesn't totally dry out. It's a bulb, obviously, so you don't want to overwater it. So just every once in a while, just when you remember, give it some water, not very much, and then just keep it in a sunny spot so that it just regenerates for next year. And then what you want to do next end of September is you basically want to do it, and you can even put it outside for the summertime. That's not a problem. But next September, you want to take it out of the pot, and then re-put it back in the same pot or put it in another pot if you wish, and that'll trigger it now to start to bloom for the following Christmas.
Okay. So do I, when you say water it now and then, that's after the stem has dried out?
No, even right now. Just don't give it very much water, just a very little bit of water, and just you might water it maybe twice a month at the most, you know?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Sure.
And then that's all you need to do, and then just put it in the sun so get some light onto the leaves, and it'll be fine.
Okay. Now these leaves, you said it's going to grow a few leaves?
Yes, it'll sprout out some leaves, and that's what it needs to do to be able to energize itself for the next year again.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. So it's always in a sunny spot. It's never in darkness.
Nope. The only time you bring it out of the sunny spot is when it's blooming, so the blooms last longer.
Sure. Okay. Right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Sharon. All right. We have a lot of text to get to, so maybe we'll do a bit of a rapid fire before our next commercial break here, Rick. So first up is Alan in Lumsden, says, I have a dragon cactus, candelabra cactus. It's about 8 to 10 feet tall. About 2 months ago, some of the branches started to lose their strength and drooped downward. Eventually, it became limp at the base as well. What can be done? No change of soil for about 3 or 4 years, but it's in a huge pot.
Yeah. So, what you have to do with some of those things is watch the moisture, because if it starts getting too droopy, sometimes that means it's running out of moisture. So a lot of times those cactuses, you don't give them very much. But if you find they're getting soft and limp, you might just have to supplement them with just a little bit more water, but not too much. They actually store lots of water for quite a long time, so they just need to regenerate those reserves. And a lot of times, a lot of it has to do with those. You have to put a pole or a stick or something like that, and sometimes you just need to tie them up, and then that'll help them to sturdy up again, and then they'll be on their own again. But sometimes they won't stand up by themselves. You may have to just actually prop them up.
A little extra strength.
A little extra strength.
Sharon in Saskatoon, back with a question about little flies and bugs. Wondering what you think about a product called Pot Poppers, where you put water in a little sack and whatever is in that sack is supposed to eat the baby flies that are in the soil. They've done it twice, but doesn't seem to do much. Do you think it's effective and worth another try?
Yeah, one thing to watch is that the pot poppers will work. Yeah, one thing to watch is there is an expiry date on those pot poppers. It's a nematode, okay? So it's another little insect that goes and attacks them. I forgot about those, and they do work because we use those. We also have the same type of nematode for ants and also for cutworms and that kind of stuff in the garden outside. But there is, it's called pot poppers, and you can use them. It is a little, almost like a little tea sack, you know, that you can put in, but you got to watch. There is an expiry date. They only last for so long. I can't remember. I think it's like 6 or 8 months. So take a look on the so they may have just expired, and you know, actually insects that are in there may have just died. So you have to just watch when you purchase them that they haven't been sitting on the shelf for too long. That's one thing you have to watch for those.
All right. Now we jump to a question about trees. About 10 years ago, I planted a row of spruce trees at the cabin at Waka Lake, about 4 feet apart at the time, lots of room. However, now they're about 15 feet tall and fighting for survival. Can I save the weaker ones with anything other than cutting them down? That's Les in Saskatoon.
Yeah. How tall did you see it there now?
About 15 feet.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty tough to move them when they're that size. And they're that close together because the roots are in time. So you may just have to do, if they're that tall, you may just have to take a chainsaw and thin them out. Mm-hmm. You need to do that soon because if they get too much bigger, they're never going to rebound to really fill out and look nice. Or you just leave them the way they are. How far?
About 4 feet apart, he said.
They're going to suffer a lot when they get older. Otherwise, you just leave them where they are. And you just have to make sure that you feed them lots so that they have lots of energy to be able to sustain themselves as they get even bigger. When they get 30 feet tall and they're 4 feet apart, that's going to be really tough on them.
It's going to have a fence probably.
Yeah, you're going to have a major fence, but they're going to be fighting for nutrients, mm-hmm. right? So you'd have to make sure you supplement them a lot. But the best thing to do when they're this tall is I would just take a chainsaw and just take every second one out.
All right, fair enough. We'll go to a quick break. If you have any questions for Rick, you can give us a call or text at 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Good morning. I'm Erin McNutt. This is Garden Talk. It's been a busy one, but we still have time for your questions. Give us a call or text at 1-877-332-8255. As always, Rick is here with us to give us all the answers that we need. We haven't been able to stump you yet.
It happens. It does happen.
Every once in a while.
Yes.
We were talking earlier about different methods that people have used to get rid of bugs in their plants. And we got a text from Eleanor in Saskatoon. Eleanor says, to kill small black flies that come from the soil, soak the tobacco from a cigarette overnight in a cup of water. In the morning, strain it through a sieve. Add some of this water when you water your plants. It works. If you have some tobacco water left over, freeze it, and you can use it later when needed. Haven't heard that one before.
I haven't heard that one before either. That's perfect.
Yeah, good. Why not give it a go?
Give it a go. Absolutely.
We have a question here that says, I have a small potted evergreen from Christmas in a ceramic pot, and it takes up a lot of water. Do I need to fill an inch of water in the pot until it dries out? It seems like I do this every few days, and to keep it from growing too much, should I be pruning it too? That's from Rose.
What type of plant was it again, sorry, here?
This is a small potted evergreen.
Yeah, so a small potted evergreen. I'm just wondering whether it's an indoor evergreen or an outdoor evergreen. So the only problem with trimming the top of an evergreen is that you're going to make it produce more than 1 liter. So that's okay, but then you're going to have to bring it down to a single liter again later on. Okay, so that's the only thing about trimming it. But yes, you can trim them to make them bush out even more, but you will have to put them into a single liter before you transplant them out.
All right. We have a question from Nora in Fort Capel. Nora says, could you tell me when is the best time to start plants like flowers for spring planting?
Oh, that's a good, great question.
Yeah.
You know, seed sales are on their way. We've been selling more and more seeds than we ever had in January. So it's going to be the thing that's going to happen, especially if you're looking at right now is when you want to start all your peppers. The flowers you want to start right now is geraniums and impatience. Impatience, there's been a shortage in the last couple of years because some of the major growers have had a disease problem, fungal problem in their crops. So they've had crop failure. So if you want impatience, you pretty much have to start them yourself and make sure you have some. So now is the time to get the impatience. As we're getting toward the end of the month here, now we're even talking about the end of February. Then we have petunias and pansies and those kind of things, and verbena. Those are the kind of flowers you want to start. If you want to start perennial flowers, you can start those anytime now.
All right. Debbie in Regina says, I have a bare root geranium that I overwintered. I just planted it up. Will the old plant grow okay for the summer, or should I take slips from this plant and start new ones?
Both. Absolutely both. Yeah, you can get the plant to regrow right now and actually take slips from it. Or if you just want to have the old plant, you can just regenerate the old plant and put it out for this next year as well. But you can do both, absolutely.
All right. We have a question from Cindy in Kyle. It says, what do I do with my amaryllis bulb now that it's done blooming? We had a similar question earlier, but a good idea to go over it again in case.
There again, now just you can trim off with the scissor the actual flowers, if there's any flower buds hanging from them or old flowers. You can trim those off, leave the stem until it actually wilts over and turns a little bit brown colored. Because if it's still green, the energy has to go back into the bulb.
Oh, okay.
And then once it turns brown and wilts over, then you can cut it off just above the bulb surface where you remember where it was when you bought it. It had that little stem on it. Trim it to that height, and then the leaves will start popping out at that time, or earlier. Some have leaves when there's still the flowers on them. Put it in the sun and then just treat it like a houseplant until next August again.
All right. We still have time for your questions. You can give us a call or text at 1-877-332-8255. We have a question here from Paul. Well, it's more of a comment from Paul in Saskatoon. He says, for those squirrel issues, get a log and put a bunch of peanut butter on it. They love it. So do chickadees, and they'll leave your trees alone.
Yeah.
Seems like a pretty good solution.
Like the one caller before, they're looking for protein right now, and that's what they're after, the saps, because the saps are starting to move a little bit in the trees. And so, just supplementing them, that's what they need.
Just a little bit of extra snacks, and they might leave the other stuff alone.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
We have a question from Lindsay in Saskatoon. It says, I bought some tulip bulbs back in the fall and never got around to planting them. They've been in my closet since, and I noticed some of them seem to be sprouting now. Can I still plant or salvage these bulbs?
Yeah, actually plant them up and put them in the fridge. They usually need about 12 weeks of cool weather to actually get them to bloom for you. Now, maybe yours had got some cold weather or some cooler temperatures in the house, and sometimes they'll trigger and they'll go. But otherwise, pot them up, put them in a cool spot. They can't freeze, but you want to be like in a fridge setting. Even put them in a fridge.
Okay.
There's no fruit in the fridge. That'll kill the bulb for sure. The ethylene gas from the fruit will kill the bulb. So, and then put them in the fridge for a little bit of time until about the middle of April or so. And then you can put them in the house, enjoy them. They'll bloom in about 2 weeks' time after you put them out in the sun. And then around the May long weekend, you can plant them in the ground outside.
Perfect. We're just going to keep going. We still have a few coming in. So this is from John in Estevan. This is a comment about those little black flies that we've kind of been talking about through the show this morning. He says, I read that you can use some water, a little bit of dish soap, and a drop of oil in a spray bottle to coat the soil a few times a day. It seems to work for him, but is this okay for plants?
Yeah, as long as you're using like a olive oil or a canola oil or something like that, that's not a problem. That won't hurt them. But yeah, what it does is if you can catch some of the adults, but the problem is little maggots are just underneath the soil. So you're not going to actually attach them and get them. So, but if you can spray them and get contact with them, absolutely, it'll take care of them.
Maybe a combo pack with the slice of potato or apple in there too. You might be able to do double duty. Yeah.
And try some of that tobacco. It might work.
Yeah. We'll have to check in with people to see if that works. We have last one we'll get to for this show anyway. Rosalyn or in Estevan, we want to start snapdragon seeds inside. When should we be doing this in order to have a nice side seedling?
Yeah, snapdragons a little bit earlier to start them. They're going to get too tall and spindly. You're probably going to be looking more like at the end of March for snapdragons, but starting right now it's just a little bit too early. They're going to be long and leggy before you're going to plant them out, and you're just not going to want to take care of them like that. So we're going to wait for a little while, probably another month, month and a half, before you can do snapdragons.
All right, sounds pretty good. And that pretty much takes us to the end of the day. We do still have a text, but we will answer that one off air here. You've been listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.